Jesus is called the apostle of our faith. And he ends his physical ministry here on the earth with a commissioning. A commissioning that I've compiled out of the book of John, Matthew, and Mark. These are all sort of the last words of Jesus, and I compiled them into a cohesive statement of what an apostolic mission looks like. So I want Trenton to go ahead and put that up. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. These signs shall accompany those who believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. They will lay hands upon the sick, and they will recover." We're going to see that happen right here next week. "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations." Nations is the heart of God. He loves nations. He created nations, and he wants nations to serve him because nations are beautiful. Come on, to preach the gospel to all nations, and then the end will come. And the end is just the beginning. Oh, come on. The end is just the beginning. Now, the apostle of our faith handed us an apostolic mission, which is to go as he was sent under the authority that he carried. He says, "All authority has been given to me. Now go." Now, go. And preach. Go and demonstrate. Go and advance the kingdom of God. Until the kingdom of God comes, and until his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our ultimate purpose. That's why we're breathing on planet earth. That's a reason to say, "God, I'm waking up this morning because I want to see your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And yes, he wants people to be saved, but he wants people to be saved so they can enter the kingdom and become sons and daughters and heirs with Jesus. Okay, he wants us to disciple nations so they can function in the blessings and in the grace of the kingdom of God. We heal the sick and we cast out devils because that's the way the kingdom advances and occupies where the devil's been occupying. Because if there's been sickness, that's the work of the enemy. We're going to advance and we're going to take that territory back. Wherever there has been abuse, wherever has been hopelessness, trauma, pain, addiction, brokenness, all kinds of things, that's because the kingdom of darkness has advanced against those people. And God is saying, "I want my kingdom to advance and take them back and bring them into the glory that I have prepared for them." An apostolic mission was given, not just at his ascension in heaven, but he also gave it when Jesus was revealed for who he really was, the Son of God. I want us to go to Matthew 16. Trenton, you put that up. So Peter says, he says, "Who do you say I am?" He brings them there to a place called the Temple of Pan, which was called the Gates of Hell. That's the name of the place. And he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You're the Son of God." He says, "Peter, on that revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In other words, the gates of hell cannot withstand the advancement of my church. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose shall be loosed on earth, shall be loosed in heaven." That means that whatever I see that heaven has loosed, I can loose it on earth. Whenever I look to heaven and see what it has bound, I can bind it on earth. That's an apostolic mission on the move because it dispossesses hell of territory it has taken. Okay, now here we go. The earth belongs to the Lord and all who dwell in it. Yeah. And the ecclesia, which is the word for church here, okay, the ecclesia is the vehicle of the kingdom. It is the occupational force that brings the kingdom wherever it goes. Now, I'm going to continue today my series, Kingdom Come, because that's what Jesus asks us to pray. He says, when you pray, what do you say? He says, "Father, right in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." And we started our series talking about transitions the church needs to make to fully be in the kingdom. To no longer be positioned partly in the world and partly in the kingdom, but to be fully in the kingdom. And then we talked about personal transitions we got to make for us to be fully engaged and connected to the kingdom of God. There was 8 transitions. We took 2 weeks to go through that. We talked about the first transition, which is poor in spirit. That means simply this: I will trust God to be my provision and my supply. I will put my trust in him above all other things. I let go of all control to hang on to him. That's where it starts. Those series are now online at fathershouseportland.org. You can click on the media button or just scroll down and you can find every message there. 3 weeks ago, I then introduced the kingdom cultures. And we're kind of walking through kingdom cultures right now. We're not going through all of them, but we want to give you a taste of the most important ones that we must be functioning in and allowing to influence and flavor our lives. So we talked about the very foundational, which is the culture of intimacy, which is the culture that desires to know the heart of God, to know what is in his heart, what the dreams that he's carrying, to hear his voice, to hear the longings of his desires and begin to partner with that and say, Lord, I want to be your friend. I want to walk with you with the dreams of heaven. I want to carry what you're carrying. And that culture then births two very foundational cultures that build the church. And that is the apostolic culture and the prophetic culture. And the prophetic culture is one that looks to people and aligns them to what heaven is saying. It takes people out of the timings and seasons of the world and moves them into the times and seasons of heavens. It makes that declaration over their lives. Last week, Danine just talked about just having discernment, how to live in a prophetic culture. But there's so much more to the prophetic culture. And we're going to have actually a school, the School of the Prophetic, that's going to take place next March. So we are excited about that school, because God said that we would have schools. And so we're stepping into that. We're going to do that in the fall. We have the School of City Transformation. But that school is going to be all about being immersed in a prophetic culture. Come on. You may not all be prophets, but we're all called to prophesy. Yeah. And declare the word of the Lord. And so be sure you kind of stay tuned for that, for more of that. But today I want to talk to you about the apostolic culture. Now, let me say again. Foundation cultures always produces subcultures. We see that. This school has a culture, but within the cultures of the school, there are subcultures. Apostolic culture, it cultivates the cultures of sons and daughters in a family. That comes out of the apostolic culture, because the apostolic culture carries the heart of the Father. And the heart of the Father is to have sons and daughters and to have family. The apostolic movement was reborn in the church in the late 1980s. I mean, before that, you never heard about that. You heard about prophets, and you heard about teachers, and you heard about pastors and evangelists, but you never heard about apostles. We thought they were these mysterious people that had to always be walking on water and floating in the air, and somehow, you know, they didn't really exist anymore. And that was just a lie of the enemy to keep the church oppressed and earthbound. But the Lord has come. He's released that gift again in the church, and the very first message that came out of that gift was the heart of the Father. In the early 90s, what did you start to hear? The Father loves you. The whole renewal was about reconnecting with the Father heart of God. But the apostolic also carries with it the culture of the miraculous, the supernatural. Next week, Steve's going to be here. He is truly an apostle. And he carries with him this grace to see the supernatural, because he sees it in heaven. He just says, no problem. And there are some people in our church who've been under his ministry who actually text a message to somebody and say, be healed in Jesus' name, and they were healed. That's the grace that he carries, because an apostle sets a field for the supernatural that we can all step into and then begin to say, hey, I can live there. I don't have to have an apostle to live there. I just have to have an apostolic mindset. Now, an apostolic culture is birth in intimacy with God, because it understands that the heart of God is wonderful, and it is to be explored. Jesus, when he explained the kingdom, he always explained it in terms that made sense to the people of that day. Now, we're reading it 2,000 years later, and we've extrapolated a whole bunch of stuff. It doesn't connect to us. But when Jesus spoke about one of the master foundation layers, the Bible says that apostles and prophets lay the foundations for the church. When he spoke about this master foundation layer, the apostle, he just borrowed a term from the culture. In that day, in the Roman culture, there was an apostle. Let me tell you what the apostle was. The apostle was a man who the Roman emperor handpicked to be with him in a place and a thing he called the apostolate. And these guys would come together and they would dream about Rome. What is Rome going to be? What is the legacy we're going to leave behind? What does our art look like? What does our economy look like? And they would actually literally shape Rome. And then when they conquered a city, they would send an apostle with an ecclesia, a church, to go there to occupy the territory and bring all the culture, all the grace of Rome. So when an apostle then would come to an occupied city, he wouldn't see another culture. He would see Rome. Come on. He would look at it and says, aha, Here's how we're going to bring Rome in. So he began to overlay the standards of the government of Rome over the local government. He would ensure that the artists in the ecclesia would infiltrate the artists of that culture and flavor it with Rome till the art began to look like Roman art. He did that. The ecclesia went into everything. Right now, this is an ecclesia. There are engineers in here. There are electricians in here. Come on. That is what it's all about. You want to start a micro church is what kind of what we're calling them instead of house churches, because our vision is you can have these churches anywhere. You know, if it's in your coffee shop or if it's in your college dorm room, okay, these micro churches that we're talking about, you can have these anywhere. You can gather the musicians, you can have the artists, and you can begin to influence them with the glory and the grace and the goodness of Jesus and the city and be able to multiply the culture of the kingdom. And the reason that we need to move the church into an apostolic culture is because the church has got to quit seeing the world as it is and start to see it, the world as heaven has declared it to be. Heaven has declared it to be. The church looks too often at the conditions of what is, and then that says, well, that's really big and that's really a problem, and how are we going to deal with the problem? And they start looking at everything from these eyes of the flesh. The reason that our church has endured the hardships of being planted in what was the graveyard of churches, let me tell you, I can list you 12 churches that were planted 2 years before and 2 years after we were planted, and all 12 of them are gone. Because this was the graveyard for churches. But the reason we did not shrink back, even though we were at the seat of Satan, is because we had an apostolic vision of what God wanted to do. What do you mean, the seat of Satan? You want to hear a funky story? All right, here we go. Good story. So it was before Father's House, and I was a young adult pastor at City Bible Church, and God miraculously gave us a building about 8 blocks from here. And it was a glorious building. I mean, I love that building. It was amazing. And we were there with our whole entire youth group and our young adults group, and we were dedicating this building. And I was praying, and man, I was anointed. We were calling down the future of what God was going to do, and suddenly something walked into the room. Something shifted the atmosphere, and I lost every thought that was in my head. It was gone. I could barely remember my name. And I'm like, whoa, what happened? So I go to the youth pastor and said, can you take over? Because I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And he goes like, dude, I'm in the same spot. I don't know what's going on. So I walked to the pastor and said, I think you're going to have to take over because I don't know what's going on. He says, I know what's going on. So he grabs the mic. He stands in front of everybody. He goes, Lord of heaven and earth, grant us now permission by the name of Jesus to be at the seat of Satan. And boom, it goes. It lifts, and we're like, whoa! And people get saved that night, and amazing things happen. It's like, whoa, where are we, people? We're not in Kansas anymore. And it's like, whoa, this is a little crazy here. When we came here, we knew that this was claimed territory. This was claimed territory. But we had a different view. We had a different view. We saw that God's intentions and God's purpose. We sat in prayer rooms and we saw in times of prayer, we saw in prophetic times the grace of God. Multiple people saw the mushroom explosion of the glory of God that would transform the city with the glory of God. The city would be known as the city that works. It would be known as the city where everything is aligned to the glory of heaven. And that is the vision that we came here with. We said, we will please stay here and we will push until that begins to happen over our city. And we did that. And listen, that is what kept us. Apostolic vision, apostolic heart is what kept us when all the things went bad, when all the people left, when all the money left, when my health tried to leave, when they tried to kill me, when opposition was on every side, something stood in us and said, but God said, but God said. Because the apostolic vision isn't looking at what's happening on earth. It's looking at what heaven has declared, and it keeps saying, but God has said. And we hung in there. I remember at the time the whole church planning team was gone. It was just Ty, Deneen, and Deb and I. And we're sitting in our dining room. And I remember Ty just saying, like, if we don't give up, we're going to see it. God said it. All around the world's been prophesied. Why we would not believe it? We would not believe it if we're people who are earthbound with our eyes. When we just look at situations first from the situational point of view. We prayed. We hung in there. We began to see in the darkness the dawn start to rise. I tell you something, guys. This has been a crazy week. So many amazing testimonies have happened just this week of revival and amazing stuff, from concerts, from people getting delivered in concerts, to all kinds of things that happened. Go on my Facebook page and read about it, because I posted three amazing testimonies. One video has always had over 1,000 views and a ton of shares. Why? Because it's the glory of God coming to a city through an apostolic people who says, we will not give up, we will not get see until we see what heaven has declared. Now, you say, oh, that's really good for our church, but what about for my life? Let me just make this statement right here. You're called to have an apostolic viewpoint about everything. Everything. What do you mean everything? I mean everything. I don't have a secular life and a Christian life. I have one life, and that life is in Jesus. It affects everything. The apostolic view says, I see through heaven's eyes my work, my family, my business. Is there strife in your family? Is there lack? Is there adversity? See, the apostolic point of view doesn't look at those things. It says, hey, I'm not worried about what earth is manifesting. I'm more concerned about what heaven is manifesting. I'm more concerned what heaven is declaring and what heaven has purpose rather than what I'm experiencing right here and right now. I want to ascend into the hill of the Lord. I want to get into the place of intimacy with the Lord and hear his heart and hear what he's decreed, what the books of heaven have written about my family. And then I'm going to bring that back down. And I'm going to start walking by faith in that reality until that reality becomes this reality. Right. That's apostolic living. Yeah. And you're all called to live in an apostolic culture. Apostolic followers of Jesus always ascends to heaven before tackling any problems. We do this regularly in our elders meeting. We're in the middle of something. We're like, we're not getting anywhere. We don't have a heavenly point of view. We stop. We go up until we come down with something. Oh, yeah, that's the mind of God. Okay, that's how we're going to work this thing. See, you go up and you get next to the Father, says, Father, what is in your heart for my family? What have you purposed for us? And I look at that point of view. And when you descend, you deal with your family according to what heaven has decreed and what heaven has declared. So, apostolic heart and point of view. I want to talk about that. How to apply that to various different places of your life. An apostolic culture is a culture of intimacy as much as it's a culture of action. Come on. Listen, there's all people who like, they like to ascend and they like to hang out there and they never descend. And you got to descend because God wants his will done on earth. You know why? His will is good because he is good. And he says, like, look, that's good. You want to hang out here? But, you know, when they went up to the mountain of transfiguration with Jesus, they're like, let's build tabernacles. Let's stay here. He says, no, we got to get back down. Now that you see, now that you know, come on down with the revelation of who I am and what I'm called here to do. So when you descend from the throne room, you're carrying a blueprint about the situation. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28, which says this.
You're the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, then third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, of helping, and of guidance. That's pastors right there. And of different kinds of tongues. Now, why is the apostolic first? Because it's a divine order. Because apostles are not focused about what's happening on earth. Right now, God's really been taking me through a season where I just don't care about what's happening on earth. Now, I care about people. I'm not saying that, but it's just like that. So, okay, fine, that's what's going on there. I don't make my point of view about what's going on there. I ascend. I ascend to see what God, heaven has. I ascend to see what heaven has. The apostolic is not primarily focused on what's happening on earth, but rather what's happening in heaven and how to get it down here. So the apostle creates a field of desiring the will of God in every situation. The prophetic is concerned with what heaven is declaring and what heaven wants to speak. But if a prophet is not within an apostolic field, he will use his gift a little differently. And we saw that for years. From before the apostles showed up, we saw it. I was scared of the prophets. These dudes were powerful, okay? The old-time prophets that lay hands upon me were powerful guys. But man, they were like, boom! They were harsh. They were just like, they just zap you. Here's the deal, why? A prophet picks up on the atmosphere. Every walk into a room, you pick up the atmosphere. What's going on here? You see when things are not aligned. And if you are operating out of a teaching gift, you're going to, bam, try to slap them into the order. If you operate out of the pastoral gift, you're just going to be like, oh my gosh, what a mess. So here's a pastoral prophet. There are people in this room who are just brokenhearted. There are people in this room who are at the end of the rope. There are people, and what's happening? You're releasing into the atmosphere that, and suddenly you're starting like, oh man, yeah. Oh. True.
Come on.
True. But when a prophet is in an apostolic field, he goes, okay. And he comes back just like, the Father of heaven and earth created you to know him. The Father of heaven and earth knows where your heart is, knows your difficulty situation. He has prepared already a way to escape. Because all of a sudden, what? Our eyes start to look upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that, little guys, is always where the solution is.
Right.
That is always where the solution is. An evangelist who's not operating out of an apostolic field will see all the people that are going to hell like, oh my God, I got to get my own prayer of salvation. Pray this prayer. Jesus loves you. Good. Okay. You pray this prayer. But an evangelist who's around an apostolic culture doesn't just see people lost. They see orphans need a father. Therefore, to them, suddenly, discipleship becomes as important as that salvation prayer. In fact, I don't want to birth anybody that I can't bring into a family. That becomes the subject of the heart. That's why we're connected with Chris Overstreet, because that's the heart that he carries. He's an apostolic evangelist.
Come on.
And what's going on in India, that's apostolic evangelism.
Come on.
If a pastor, if your primary gift is you love people and you just want to see them blessed and be in the right place, it's so easy if you're not in an apostolic field, in an apostolic culture, to just run dry out of exhaustion. You know why? Because people's problems are unending. They're day and night, night and day. Let problems arise, day and night, night and day. Let pain take over. I mean, like, it's true. It's like, it's always on. I remember the days when I was just pastoring the church, okay, before I really was, like, understanding this whole thing. God was giving us apostolic vision, but I didn't understand how to apostolically pastor people. It was day and night, night and day, man. You're always running to the point of, like, if you're a person who desires to help people, you get them green pastures and see their lives, behold.
Whole.
Not a whole. English is so stupid. I'm sorry. I insulted all the people from England. I'm sorry. It's a beautiful language. The whole world speaks it to you, and parts of heaven will also. But here's the deal. If you focus on the heartache and the problems, pretty soon you will find yourself running on empty as you try to find answer to all the problems.
Come on.
Because if you really carry a pastoral heart, you carry a sense of responsibility for people. You really do. And that's a God-given thing. But a pastor who operates in an apostolic culture, he goes, problem, heaven. He goes and gets the blueprints of heaven. And then he goes down into the pit with a blueprint to bring them to their shepherd Jesus, who can lead them to green pastures and still waters, who can renew their soul, because they have a blueprint of how to get them there, because heaven loves that person. He is the master shepherd. Listen, this is the greatest thing that you can be as a pastor, is to say, ha ha ha, my greatest role is to lead you to your pastor.
Yeah, come on.
My greatest role is to lead you to the pastor. Because then you're working from the blueprints to the problem, rather than from the problem to a solution.
Yeah. Come on. Good word.
Does this make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
It's not hard. It's not rocket science, but it is transformational in thinking. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. That I have to stop looking at what is on earth and then look to what is in heaven. That is always where my neck snaps to see what Father is doing. I want the band to come up. We may not all be apostles, But we're all called to live in an apostolic culture. Yeah. To live under that culture and that sphere so that everything that I do in my life, I view from heaven's point of view. That heaven begins to shape everything that I see so that I'm operating from the will of God towards the circumstance rather than looking at the circumstance and then like trying to ascend. I'm already bogged down. See, you're going to understand the authority you've been given. Because an apostolic culture understands that it's a sent culture. I've been sent. The minute I give my life to Jesus and said yes to Him, I'm sent. I'm sent into the world to set captives free. I'm sent with a heaven's view of what cities should look like. Suddenly recovered. It's happened. It can happen again. And it can become a habitation and not a visitation. God wants you to understand the authority that you have. To understand the authority that Jesus came in and the authority you've been sent out. Because when you actually understand the authority you have authority over storms. You have authority over the demonic. You have authority when you begin to shape your worldview according to the blueprints of heaven and what heaven is declaring. When that begins to shape our worldview, then our situations don't seem that impossible. Don't seem that unattainable. And here's the thing, the ecclesia was patient. They just went in there and they infiltrated. They befriended the culture. In fact, Rome made it so that everybody could become a Roman citizen if they did all the right stuff. Right now, I want you to stand to your feet. Many of you are in situations you have no clue how to get it resolved. You're in a situation, could be financially, could be relationally, could be 100 different things here in this room that you have no answers for. But I want you to tell you, I got some good news. This house carries an apostolic mantle, and right now there's a feel of heaven wants to be set up above you so that as you begin to worship, you begin to say, Lord, come on, let me see the blueprints. Let me see the blueprints. Let me hear what heaven has decreed. Lord, let me see according to what heaven is doing. My vision to see is to see every son and daughter in this house operate from heaven to earth. That just becomes our culture. It just becomes our culture. To stop fighting for a victory and start fighting from a victory. What does that mean? That means that I went to heaven, I saw it defeated, I saw it completed, and I got the blueprints, and I come back down and I start to walk in those blueprints until those blueprints actually begin to change and shift patterns here on the earth. Until it becomes a reality. We're going to sing the song, Our Father. And as we do, I believe that we're going to proclaim, let heaven come. I believe, right, I'm going to speak and declare some things, and I believe heaven is going to come over that which you have no answer for. That you're going to leave those things here, and you're going to start to ascend into the presence of the Lord. And there, you're going to see the finished work of Jesus. You're going to see a love that is so amazing, that is so good. So I want, just right now, just lift your hands. Father, would you right now bring us by the Holy Spirit, Lord, into the courts of heaven, that we would see the blueprints to the problems that we carry, that we would see the blueprints, Father, to the people in our lives who need hope, who need vision, who need life, that we would see the blueprints, Lord God, for your provision, that you would establish your covenant, that today, Lord God, we would see blueprints for restoration and that transformation. Come on, there are blueprints right now. The Spirit of the Lord is saying there are blueprints for restoration of relationship that God is going to give you right now by the Spirit of the Lord. Because if you're hungry and you ask, He will not turn you away. He will not give you a